Grace Church, it is great to be with you today. I'm grateful to be able to greet Middleburg Heights and Lorraine and those online. Thankful for this opportunity to be able to bring God's Word and to share in this first Sunday of the new year with you. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. But there are two verses that are key for our message today, verse 3 and verse 8. And so as we look into the Word, I would ask that if you can and you're able, if you would stand as I read these key verses, if you would be willing, if you would stand. And I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse, I'm going to read verse 3 and verse 8. And it says, "And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" If I were going to put a title on the message today, it would be this: From Splendor to Significance, Trust the God who is Holy. From Splendor to Significance, Trust the God who is Holy. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come before you bringing nothing in our hands, but offering all that we are to you. As we look in your word today, open our eyes that we would see. Open our ears that we would hear. Open our hearts that we would receive. Open our wills that we would respond. Pour out your spirit for this word, for this time, for this group of people. In this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor, and in the church that I grew up, we were, we were Baptist-costal. We were Baptists who worshiped like Pentecostals. But one of the things that characterized the church that I grew up in is that we didn't leave the preacher up there by themselves in order to preach. If people would say amen, people would respond with preach or something to let the preacher know that they were with them. And so I'm going to invite you not to leave a brother up here by himself. And thank you, amen. From splendor to significance. We all, on some level or another, have a desire, a hunger, a desire, a longing for two things. I want to submit to you today those two things. First, we have a desire. We want to encounter something or someone that is bigger than who we are. Something or someone that's truly magnificent. And then second, we want to know that the lives that we have, the lives that we live, that those lives matter. I was 17 years old at the time that I came face to face with these two things. A leader in my school's student council, a key section leader in my high school chorus and ensemble, a favorite amongst my teachers, well-liked in a variety of social circles, heavily involved in music ministry of the church that I grew up in. Even my friends' parents loved me. I went from circle to circle and event to event to event and opportunity to opportunity, hoping to connect with people and experiences that would transform my life and bring meaning to my existence. Even all the possible careers I was exploring at the time were predicated upon this desire for connection and for contact with greatness that would transform my life and bring meaning to my existence. On the surface, I was achieving it. I even dressed the part. It was the era of brand name everything, where everything had a name on it when it came to clothing. And so I want you to picture this with me, if you will. February 16th. 1983, 3 days after my 17th birthday, I sat in a local restaurant in the town that I grew up in, and I was looking good. A tan V-neck Vidal Sassoon sweater, a silver S chain around my neck, perfectly fitting Calvin Klein jeans. I can guarantee you that those jeans don't fit anymore. A freshly brewed cup of coffee in front of me. The only thing that I don't remember is the kind of shoes that I was wearing. But I can guarantee you that whatever those shoes were, they were as nice as the sweater and the jeans that I was wearing because I looked good. Here's the thing. Outwardly, I looked the part. But inwardly, my life was falling apart. Empty, lonely, filled with anxiety. Everything felt meaningless. All of the popularity that one could ask for as a 17-year-old high school student, I had it. It was mine. And it still left me lacking. It still left me feeling hurt internally. And while I don't know if I would have attempted anything, I was contemplating what this world would be like without me in it. The woman sitting across from me at the restaurant that night was a leader in the church that I grew up in. I had called her and asked if we could talk. And so over a cup of coffee, she asked questions. She listened intently to what was going on with me. She even then told me her own story about her own emptiness and loneliness and bouts with depression. And she also told me of an encounter that completely transformed her life and gave it new meaning. And then she did something very simple. She listened, and after doing that, she grabbed my hands and she began to pray. And she invited me to pray with her. Now, this wasn't the first time I had prayed in my life. However, this time, something I had never experienced before happened in the middle of that restaurant. I encountered what I can only describe as the undeniable presence of God. But it wasn't just his presence. This time, things were different. I had heard of God's holiness. I knew from Sunday school that God was holy, but on this night, as that mentor of mine prayed over me, I encountered God's holy presence, something I had never encountered before. At least I hadn't encountered it like this, and certainly not as memorable up to that point in my life. And while it may seem cliche to say it, the only thing I can tell you about that encounter and the subsequent encounters that I've had with God's holiness is this. My life has never been the same since. On that evening, that idea of contemplating what this world would be like if I wasn't in it, that left me. And while it took some time for the anxiety and the loneliness to leave, I found that my life of seeking popularity started to end because there was a change that had taken place. It wasn't important to me anymore. Instead, I began to discover a new life filled with significance and a new life filled with meaning. As I reflect on that evening and subsequent life-transforming encounters with God's holy presence, here's the question that comes to my mind. It's a simple question. Why? Why does an encounter with God's holiness transform an ordinary life and bring it to being a life of significance? I'm convinced that this encounter that I had that night was not specifically designed by God just for me and no one else. Rather, I think it's something that he desires for all of us, for you. He desires it for you and for you and for every person that is hungry to encounter something or someone bigger than who you are. Something or someone that will transform your life into such a way that it sets you on a trajectory of significance and purpose like you've never known before. This is where we come to our text for today. This is where the prophet Isaiah comes in. Nearly 3,000 years ago, he had a life-transforming encounter with the holiness of God. Uzziah, who reigned as king of Judah for over 52 years, had died. The people were in mourning. In the midst of the mourning, Isaiah had an encounter that can only be described as a holy encounter. Can only be described as a sacred encounter. Let me read for you from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. It says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. With 2 wings they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Before we move on, I want to define the word holy. Holy, holy, holy. It means sacred, both ceremonially and morally. It means set apart. It means completely and wholly other. It means pure. It means clean. It means free from defilement of any kind. It means perfect. Here's the picture. While mourning an apparently successful king who ultimately, in his imperfection, died of leprosy, was a defiling disease in antiquity, as he was mourning this king's death, Isaiah had a life-transforming encounter with the king, the Lord Almighty, in whom there is no defilement and no impurity, in whom there is nothing unclean. Uzziah was a successful king at one point who, because of his unholy choice, he ultimately had to live apart from his people until his death. And while mourning Uzziah's death, Isaiah encounters the holy God who, in his perfection, is set apart already. A holy God who's like no other. A holy God who is undefiled in every way. Yet, even in his undefiled, perfect, altogether otherness, God's holy presence turns this temple, this place of Isaiah's painful period of mourning, into a powerful palace that houses his regal throne, displays his glory that fills the whole earth, and turns Isaiah's period of mourning into a gift of redemption and deliverance, which transforms Isaiah's life forever. Again, I ask the question, why? Why does an encounter with God's holiness transform an ordinary life into a life of significance? I want to submit to you today that this happens because God himself is holy. And in encountering his holiness, God offers to Isaiah and offers to us the opportunity to experience his matchless majesty. No one and or nothing else outshines his glory and his power. In fact, every other glory and every other power and every other authority pales in comparison to his, and it disintegrates in his presence. Let me read verses 3 and 4 again. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This was a majestic scene filled with splendor, filled with glory, filled with honor. And God's holiness, God's complete and perfect otherness, gives Isaiah a picture of God like he's never seen nor encountered before. We had the privilege of hosting some of our kids for Christmas this year. We have a daughter who lives with us, and then we have my daughter and her husband who live in Pennsylvania came to visit us. And then my son and his wife and their two kids, our granddaughters, came also. They arrived at 2 a.m. He had a service that he had to do, and then they drove from Pennsylvania to New Jersey, where we are. So they arrived at 2 a.m., and as I came up the stairs from the basement, and my wife, who had gone out to the car, was walking in with our oldest granddaughter, who is 3. She's in my wife's arms, and she sees me, and at 2 a.m., she gets this smile on her face, and she says, "Buelo." Buelo's the name that they call me. I'm a Afro-Dominican, and so I go by Buelo. Buelo! And every time I would leave the room and come back in the room for the 5 days that they were there, I'd get this, Buelo! Buelo's here! And at one point, she walked over to her 1-year-old sister and said, Sissy, come! Buelo! And I went, Buelo! And my wife went, Buelo. I was like, that's right, Buelo. Whenever I walked into the room for my 3-year-old granddaughter, it was a moment of magnificence, and I took it in. I want you to imagine what that must have been like for Isaiah. As he's in the temple, and the glory of the Lord fills the temple, and the train of the Lord fills the temple, and it's trembling, and smoke is filling the room, and he hears, "Holy, holy, holy." Think about it. God is so complete, so unparalleled, so perfect, so completely undefiled, so majestic that the seraphim have to say it 3 times to make their point. Holy, holy, holy. And as they declare, holy, 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 they're proclaiming this about God. Here's what they're proclaiming. Nothing outshines him because God's brilliance shines brighter. No one knows more than him because God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Nothing outloves him because God in his very essence is love. Nothing outreasons him because in his holiness, God declares, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Nothing outpowers him because God is all-powerful. No one can be as faithful as he is because God in his very nature embodies faithfulness. No other king can outrule him because Isaiah declared this. His eyes had seen the King, the Lord Almighty, the one whom before the sermon called to one another, holy, 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 as they bore witness to his matchless majesty. There's something else here that I see that's important. What is true about God the Father, holy, is true about God the Son, holy, and is also true about God the Holy Spirit, holy. And Isaiah encounters this God, the triune God, and he becomes undone. He just is a wreck. This makes sense to me. Because encountering God's holiness not only brings you into contact with his matchless majesty, but it also leaves you completely and utterly exposed. And in that, God offers to Isaiah and to us the opportunity to also encounter his transforming touch. No one and or nothing else can efficaciously cleanse and purify us like the holy God can. In fact, because he is holy, it's his holy touch that makes the unholy holy. Look at how Isaiah responds. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Can I translate for you? I believe Isaiah was saying this. I have just encountered perfection and I am broke up, I am messed up, I am tore up from the floor up. I have seen who I am unworthy to see, and I am an unrighteous wreck. I'm undone. I'm ruined. And in his undefiled perfection, you would expect God to respond, yep, you're unworthy. You don't even have the right to be here. I don't know why you're even in my presence. Yet I find it this interesting, and I can't escape the fact that God, the Holy One, chose to reveal himself in all of his glory and in all of his majesty, in all of his power, in all of his holiness, and he chose to do that to an unholy, unrighteous man of unclean lips who lived amongst people whose lips were equally unclean. And instead of condemning Isaiah, the Holy God cleanses and transforms him. I can imagine God responding to Isaiah in this way. You may be broke up, but in my holiness, I'm going to raise you up. You most definitely are messed up, but in my holiness, I'm going to clean you up. You may be tore up from the floor, but in my holiness, I'm picking you up off the floor, and I'm burning away your guilt and your shame, even to the point of transforming your speech, because I, the Holy One, have the power and the authority to receive you in your unholiness and make you holy, because I am holy. Can I tell you something this morning, my friends? God does not want to hide his holiness from you. He's not looking to hide his holiness from you. Rather, God in his holiness wants to have an encounter with you, because God in his holiness wants to transform you. He wants to transform your view of him. He wants to transform your view of yourself. And he wants to transform your view of others. Encountering God's holiness, it brings you into contact with his matchless majesty. It cleanses and purifies you by his transforming touch. And finally, encountering God's holiness fills your desire for living a life that matters and a life that is on mission, because with his majestic transforming presence, God offers to Isaiah in this text, and he offers to us today, the opportunity to receive his compelling call. No one and or nothing else can give us true purpose and meaning in life. In fact, his voice alone awakens the deepest desires and purpose, our deepest desire and purposes, by first calling us to himself before launching us into any assignment we may have. He calls us first to himself, then launches us into whatever assignment we have in life. I love how this encounter progresses. God in his holiness reveals himself to an unholy Isaiah, and then opens the door for Isaiah to enter into a holy relationship with this holy God. He draws Isaiah to himself and cleanses Isaiah, all that is done before he ever gives Isaiah an assignment to do. Brothers and sisters, I stopped by today to tell you that God has a call of significance and assignment for your life. When in all of his holiness, he reveals himself to you and cleanses you, he also wants to show you that his hand is on your life. Yet I want to submit to you that God in his holiness cares less about the significant assignment on your life than he does about helping you see how significant your life is to him. And he does this before any assignment is given. It is only after this that Isaiah, when he encounters a holy revelation of God and receives a thorough cleansing from God, that we read these words in verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Friends, that's what happened to me on that night, February 16, 1983. Seeking popularity, seeking significance, wanting a job that made me matter, I completely put that all away, because I'd come in contact with the holy God who, in his holiness, met the deepest need of my heart, cleaned me up, and all of a sudden I was leaving that table over a cup of coffee, having found significance that night. But my significance was found in him. I didn't need to search anywhere else. Interesting enough, 3 months later, sometime in May, I can't remember the exact date, but it was 3 months after that evening, I was praying and sensed God asking me a question, to which I responded. And out of that question and out of that response, it became my "Here am I, send me" moment. All of a sudden, I did have an assignment, nothing like I was dreaming of. Everything I was dreaming of would not have me standing here before you today. And yet, I'm here because of God's grace. And it doesn't matter to me what anything else was that I was looking at, because my significance is no longer found in things, in people, in situations, in places. My significance is found in him, this holy God who I have encountered in a life-transforming way. His matchless majesty, his transforming touch, his compelling call. They are all rooted in, are part of, and are connected to his holiness. God is perfect. He is completely undefiled and like no other. Holy, holy, holy. Let me wrap this up by referring to something I said earlier. What is true of God the Father, holy, is also true of God the Son, holy, and is true of God the Holy Spirit, holy. My friends, when Isaiah encountered God's holiness that day in the temple, he caught a glimpse of what would fully be revealed on a skull-shaped hill called Golgotha. Some of y'all might call this place Mount Calvary, that place where Jesus, the perfect spotless Lamb of God, gave his life on a cross for you and me. You see, as we look at this picture and then we gaze upon the cross, we encounter the matchless majesty of a holy God who loved us so much that he wrapped his divinity in flesh and walked among us. Holy, holy, holy. As we ponder the cross this morning, we experience the transforming touch that reached down from eternity into humanity, not with the coal from the altar at this time, but with the precious blood that was shed for you and me. And if you will let those nail-scarred hands that Jesus stretched out on Calvary reach in and touch your life, you will never be the same. For the same holiness that cleansed Isaiah's lips is the same holiness that can cleanse your life and make you whole through the blood of Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. As we look at the cross today, we embrace the compelling call where Jesus first calls us to himself in such a compelling way that we find significance in him. Then he calls us to be on mission with him. Just like God the Father called to Isaiah, "Whom shall I send?" God the Son is calling from Calvary, "Who will follow me?" And just as Isaiah encountered God's holiness in the throne room, you and I can encounter Jesus' holiness at the foot of the cross, causing us to cry out, "Here I am, send me." And God, the Holy Spirit, bears witness to this truth as it takes root in our souls. Holy, holy, holy. At the cross, his matchless majesty meets our misery. At the cross, his transforming touch cleanses our transgressions. At the cross, his compelling call answers our cry for significance. At the cross, we meet a holy God in the person of Jesus Christ, who, as Isaiah prophesied, was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed. The hymn writer said it perfectly. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. At the cross, where the Holy One became sin for us, you'll find what your heart has been searching for, someone bigger than yourself and a life that truly matters. At the cross, where the Holy One shed his blood for us, you'll encounter what it means to go from splendor to significance, and you'll find yourself crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." We encounter a holy God. There are two responses that I see. The first one is this. In his holiness, God invites us to enter into his presence and receive a transformation such as never before. The kind of transformation that cleans us up, lifts us up, turns us around, gives us significance like we have never thought we would experience. If you have never encountered this holy God, I want to tell you, he's here today. And he wants to give you a new life. My prayer is that you would encounter him and you come to know him, because he already knows you. And in his presence, may you find yourself crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Then there's a second response. Friends, we long for and we crave revival. Most of us think we need an encounter with God's love and or his power to experience. And we do encounter his love and we do encounter his power. But as a friend of mine who studies revivals told me, in both the first and second Great Awakenings, they had anxious rooms where people encountered God's holiness first. And from that encounter, they shook and they trembled and they wept until they repented. It was then that they encountered God's unfathomable love. It was then that they were transformed. But it all began with an encounter with God's holiness. I want to submit to you today that, like Isaiah, true transformation, true revival, true renewal that we cry out for begins with an encounter with the holiness of God, in the presence of God, basking in the glory of God, where we find ourselves repenting before God. It is then and only then that we realize that nothing else satisfies except the triune God himself, who is holy, holy, holy. I want to pray, but I want to pray the words of a song that many of us may be familiar with. And so I invite you, if you would bow your heads and let these words become the words of your heart as I sing them. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 you're merciful and mighty, God in three persons, God in three persons, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.